arbitration venue from Los Angeles to Catskill, New York. And the other thing is I just like to see that the names, no names can be honorary terms. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's in there. I don't think that names have to be blurred out. I didn't see that in there. Did you see that, Patrick?
No. Under others, it's just got the locations that they're going to show.
Yeah. So, other than that, I mean, I'll send those two to him. And this may be...
I don't believe there are any, but I don't know.
There were going to be a cemetery at 6 o'clock.
Right. The filming is from this tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m.
Yeah. 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So they've already been in contact with the Greene County Sheriff's for traffic. Yeah, emergency services. Also. Yeah, emergency services have been notified. Everybody feel good with this. Entertain a motion to
allow
this.
Motion.
Motion by Paul, second by Jerry. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Do we want to go into code or do we want to do the ambulance contract or is it, how far out of the tail?
The minutes ago, you said 10 minutes.
We can start going over code then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we want to just tackle this real quick? What Dale said that about the screening? Ted, did you get that? Yeah, he sent it today at 1:03. Required screening for non-residential use.
See, I personally think that should fall under the site plan review rule.
It's part. You're right. It's part of planning board review. It's for the construction yard.
Yeah.
That would be or could be a stipulation.
But this also this one includes parking lots and yeah. Other stuff other than construction.
Yeah.
If you want to start with construction yard, so Matt's suggestion was, and I think it's a good one. Well, he had a couple of suggestions about it should be only allowed in certain zones, highway, commercial, and industrial. I think Dale wanted to talk about that a little bit also. There could be as far as the impact on the neighbor, you could have a minimum lot size. That was one option that Matt suggested. The other thing that I think, which is very good, is setbacks. Mm-hmm. So you don't want, you know, the backhoe or the dump truck or whatever sitting on the neighbor's yard, sitting on the neighbor's line. So, and, you know, as far as setback goes, setback doesn't impact vehicles. It only has to do with structures.
Correct.
So we would have to have a specific reference that any vehicles that are going to be allowed under the homeowner's exemption, you still need some type of a setback for the vehicles, whatever that is, 10 feet, 20 feet, 25.
Okay, neighbor calls.
Right now.
Max, go out there with a tape measure, 19 feet instead of 20 feet from the property. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well,
it's not a structure.
It's a trailer. It's a trailer that's going to move. Like my camper, I mean, I have mine is parked right on the property line. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, we're splitting hairs.
You want to talk about it? Causing a lot of phone calls.
He's
15 feet from my property line. He's supposed to be 20. Right. Oh, no, I'm sorry, he's 20. Talking about wasting time.
I guess the idea would be, do you want to have some setback for vehicles from the back?
I think that should be up to the planning board if they want a tree buffer, or if they want a hedgerow, or if they want a fence.
No, this is just for the contractor that brings his trailer and his piece of equipment on the trailer, so there's not going to be a site.
Well, like you said, I have a neighbor with his camper right on my property.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
It's a movable structure.
Right.
How are you going to, I mean...
Well,
and people out there with tape measures everything.
Well, you do. That's true. But if the law says that, you know, right now the way it's worded is that, you know, there's no permitting. It's allowed by, you know, by there's no, you don't go in front of the planning board or anything. So do you want to have 10 foot or 15 foot or whatever it is, you put that in the law, and now they know, and if it's 14 foot one night, well, okay. But in general, the idea is that this is 15 feet, and it's got to be 15 feet from your neighbor or whatever the.
But why? What are we benefiting?
You know what I mean?
Whether it's 10 feet or 15 feet?
Does a neighbor want the equipment, you know, next to his house?
It doesn't look like it makes any benefits.
But it's okay for me to park my boat or my camper on the property line. I can't park my excavator or my trailer on the property.
It's a balance, and you're going to have some people in a residential area. Now, remember, what you've proposed is the backhoe and the trailer and the dump truck can go. Right now, it can go anywhere in the town, regardless of zone. You have residential areas, R1 residential areas, and now you're going to have, it's allowable to have contractors' equipment. So should there be any control whatsoever?
But it's allowed now. There's no money that says you can't.
We're trying to reel it in.
No, I
you're trying to improve.
But I understand. So we limit how many pieces of the equipment they can.
Three or less.
Three or less.
Yeah.
So that's a dump truck, a trailer, and something on the trailer.
Technically, something on the trailer is not parked.
Right. That's
it's on top of the trailer.
Well,
that's going to be what it is. They're going to say, well, there's the piece of equipment, there's the trailer, there's the dump truck.
That's three. Yeah. If you stack them all up on top of one another, it's not one, it's three.
Him and I had this conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
Dale's going to vote against it.
That's what he told me. But that's up to you. That's all right.
We have a lot of landscapers that have their landscape trailer with their mowers and stuff.
I
parked them
right. If it's inside the trailer, you can't see it. Does it count as visual equipment?
No. Enclosed trailer, you can't see it. That enclosed trailer is no different than a camper.
Right.
The enclosed trailer is no different than a camper.
All right. Can we talk about? So I had four things that I wanted to talk about. That was one of them. The other one was rights of way, and
hey, we're all done.
That's good. Can you hear me now? That's great.
Went over the phone.
That's resolution for that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I had two things. We're going to change the venue from Los Angeles to Catskill.
Didn't get a chance to read it. Yeah, that's good.
And
we are in Catskill.
And he's going to. I'm going to send him some language that's kind of obscure any names on the tombstones. And if he doesn't, if they're legible, he's got to get permission from the family.
Okay. They may be bringing in their own, but it's still good to do that to make sure the cover they're thinking about. Last time I talked to him, which was late last week, of bringing in a wood styrofoam type of gravestone or something like that. That's good.
And then we just started going over.
So we had a quick conversation about construction yards, and the consensus seems to be that we're going to allow them in all zones if they're up to three on the land of the homeowner. And I told him we weren't real happy with that, but that's what the consensus seems to be. So you want to make some
Well, I mean, if that's what we want, I mean, that's what we want. want, but I don't, you know, I think you just got to be careful of having a construction yard that's going to end up in Jefferson Heights.
Is that one next door?
That's not really a construction yard, I mean, right?
Right, well, that's what I'm saying, this is just, we're talking about residential.
People with three
persons have like one business and bring their trailer or their.
And that's not really a construction yard, though, is it, Ted?
But it's still a piece of equipment.
It's equipment.
It's a dump truck, it's a trailer, it's.
No, this is our.
Or a little excavator on a trailer.
So our definition of a construction yard storage yard, any space, whether inside or out, a new or existing building used for the storage or keeping of more than.
More than three pieces of construction.
Where's that change over to?
Construction yard, any space, whether open space or inside or outside of the building, used for storage or keeping of more than one piece of construction equipment, machinery, vehicles, or parts thereof, whether or not in active use by a construction contractor. This includes a storage yard for building materials and/or equipment intended for commercial use. So we were going to add to that.
Because right now it's just one or more, and then you've got a construction yard. I mean,
right. Well,
we were
putting that disclaimer that the person's residence, primary residence, is allowed to have up to three pieces of.
Right. And the other ones that I talked, that I sent out today from Milton, I mean, if you're really going to have a construction yard, they would put a fence around it. I mean, it's really.
We've talked about that already. That's a planning board. That's something that's like.
Well, you've got to get the planning board to teeth to it.
You've got to have the teeth. You've got to say, right, exactly. We would want to put that.
This is what you have to do to do this project.
Right, but on the planning board side.
That's what I mean. So you're saying in Jefferson Heights, somebody has three pieces of equipment, and now we're gonna have, if we're gonna have to put up a fencing yard all the way around their property with screening.
Yeah, because that would trigger site plan review. Right.
But what is that gonna look? What's that gonna look like for a neighbor on Brooks Lane or Locust Park or Elting?
Golf course down the street with 100 pieces of equipment.
The keeping of up to three pieces of functioning equipment is permitted without special use if located at the primary residence of a contractor in all zones. So, in all zones, it goes in. If that's where the contractor lives, he or she gets three pieces of equipment.
Right.
You don't have to come in front of the plant.
We're talking about somebody that's got three or more pieces, right? Is that what you mean?
What's our definition of a where does that fall on our definition of a construction yard?
That's not a construction yard. It's if you have three or less and it's parked at your house, you're good.
Right.
Then they belong to you.
Right.
Correct. Yep. So we're all good on that one, right?
Yeah.
So this is our definition of construction yard.
Yeah.
It's permitted by special use in all zones, and then the exception to that is the keeping of up to three pieces of functioning equipment is permitted without special use if located at a primary residence of a contractor in all zones.
Right. So you got a contractor in all zones that has three pieces of equipment.
Right.
But in the beginning of that definition, we're saying that a construction yard is still okay in all zones.
By special use.
So even by special use, you would want one in larger residential. Now, because you got a clause in there that's saying that somebody got
a three. I thought we changed that at the last meeting. I thought we said not in all zones.
Right. Yeah, right. No, that's not how it is now. I mean, if we're going to say we're going to have an individual come in there and have three pieces of equipment, you know, zero turn, a trailer, and a pickup truck, whatever, that's their three pieces of equipment. But in the beginning of that, you're saying under special use, you're going to allow a construction yard anywhere.
Yes.
And so if you have 11 pieces of equipment, you can go in all zones by special use.
By special use. Yes.
And you see,
yeah,
I'm not okay.
Special use is up to the planning board about that. I thought we said in.
It's only up to the planning board here if we allow them to.
When you have a construction yard.
But so if the planning board can choose that this isn't a good area for it, you're not getting your special use for it.
I mean, I don't know. If I was in moderate residential or high density residential, I don't think I'd even want. Like, first of all, I don't have that many large parcels, but I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that as a neighbor. So you want to delegate or relinquish and give that to the planning board for them to make that decision.
They're a landowner's board, yes.
So
that's their job.
See, I'm against that.
Special use, you got to remember, really is a permissible use. That's a permissible use. The only thing is there, they can say landscaping, the lights, lighting.
Well, that's why we also just, we're discussing.
Again, that's what we had talked about.
No, I mean, I'm okay with the landscape guy, we have zero turn of, but other than that, I don't think you should have a construction yard in it, except for an industrial and highway commercial.
I disagree with that, because we have a ton of property that's owned RA, where it can be perfect construction yards, and we can't do it right now. How much commercial properties we sell in the town of Casco?
It's probably a half dozen.
Yeah. You have a whole section of IW that's zoned RA, you can't put a construction.
I just fielded a question today about something on the way in, about somebody in RA that has roosters. And they're saying, you've got residential housing right next, no, these are residents, but they're RA, and they're upset about that. So, I don't know. You know, I think down the road, and which I think Ted had in the sheets here, you know, there's something to be considered later on as a light industrial. You can always
take it out of high density.
Yeah.
Take it out of high density conservation zones like Myers suggests.
What about moderate?
Moderate is good. It should be in moderate.
Why? MR is wide open.
Yeah. Moderate residential. Where is that located, Ted, on that map?
I don't have
that's
one.
That's Christie Ave, Briggs Lane.
Yeah.
So section of Pellonville that already has one?
Yeah, section of Pellonville, Hickory Hollow, Woodland, Woodstock.
I mean, if you go through a comprehensive plan down the road, which will happen, at that point, if you want to get, you know, put another zone like commercial, all I can say, I believe that looking at the table of use, and I only looked at one today on time, it was Milton, and they weren't having construction yards. And I'm not saying
that cats are a big difference.
So we'll take it out of HR.
HR and conservation zones.
In conservation zones.
And how about MR?
We're going to leave it in.
I'm a no on that.
They're existing in MR already.
So they would be grandfathered in. And that would be
going to follow. Doesn't make sense.
Well, how do you say grandfathered in when this never existed before? This isn't, we're not changing the district, we're adding this.
The problem is there was never any enforcement.
Right.
So anybody really, I mean, it's not supposed to work that way, but you've got, construction yards in the town of Catskill, you probably have 25 of them now, if not more. They've been there for years and years and years and years. You can't, you know, their grandfather did. You can't go back and say, okay, you know, what are you going to do? It would be a full-time job for Matt.
I mean, nobody survived a long time without even having this definition.
Right.
You know, that's the other side of the coin.
Right.
Moderate residential.
But now, instead of just being out there as a gray area that we don't have that definition, now all of a sudden we're going to say they'll see that and say they can do it and be more apt to go into these areas that we may
have. They tax on vacant property that's now developed.
Yeah, a couple of sections in cement and through Short Street.
Yeah.
Probably goes to cement.
We got a lady right now in Maple Avenue that doesn't like what goes on down there. And you know what?
It's Maple Street now.
Maple Street, but in the end, would you want it in your neighborhood?
It looks like 385
is
moderate residential. There's a lot of moderate residential.
Is Jayers?
They have a current, what do you call it? They have variance problems.
So we'll take it out of HR.
And conservation.
Okay. You guys are going to say you want to still keep it in moderate residential?
Yeah. Because the amount that there's existing, yeah. I do.
What's the thing we're going to have a home on property?
So he's going to turn that property in 2020.
I would say no.
That's what he wants. He says you can have a construction yard. What's a construction yard? Three or more. So you're going to have a construction yard, you can fence it in, and you're going to have one more. Then you're going to have places like on 23B. You're going to have a construction yard all day long. You could have a truck. That's a construction yard then, right? If you put a fence around it, you put a garage in there.
You don't need a fence under our
order. Well, unless we do a fencing later, you know, because I mean, the one I sent from Milton has a fencing thing up there that you gotta enclose it, otherwise you're gonna develop all that land all the way, well, that's already, even under RMA, you're gonna develop it all up onto, and that was the concern that people from Beads already had here the other night, on going in RMA, making that all commercial, and in essence, by doing that, that's what we're doing.
That Leeds Flats is, looks like that's moderate.
That's what, that's at heart.
North of 23B.
The whole section of 32A is moderate residential.
And then you get into RA, all of 23B is RA.
Yeah.
You know how many construction yards you want up there on that particular area.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we should, through a comprehensive plan, come up and do a, if you want to have a light industrial area that, you know, that you can designate and identify, you say, otherwise you're going to have, you know, it's going to be all over the place. That's my opinion. If I, you know, and we're making decisions without people, you know, even knowing that. We told, like, the people in, that were here last week that, we, you know, that we were entertaining that, and now all of a sudden, through this action, we are going to make it permissible.
Yeah. We're not changing the zoning. We're making the...
Well you're not, absolutely. You're not changing the zoning, but you're going to make uses permissible within that zoning. So in essence, you're allowing people to do something that they didn't anticipate happening by allowing those things to come into their...
Which has already been allowed.
Well, then we shouldn't do any of it. You know, I mean, I'm okay with that.
This was the planning board needed a definition.
Yeah, I agree.
You do?
The planning board needed a definition so they could determine what these things are. That's why we have this. The planning board has no idea.
I get it. I get it.
We're going to put one of these in any of our zone.
We're also trying to restrict... In the future, from this point forward, you're trying to
restrict the things that happened in the past, or at least we're looking to plan and have development in a way that's complementary to our town, not just some of these things around because people want to do it. You had all these people from Leeds here the other night, you just told them it wasn't going to happen.
Now
you're allowing different things to happen in that zone, which is exactly what we told them.
So not just in Leeds.
Not just Leeds.
Rural lack.
We have them on 32 inches,
which is mostly your town.
But it's storage and it's
paint.
Not
RA.
The people that left here, 5 to 90%
of your town is RA.
What we said was, under the comprehensive plan, we may rezone certain sections of the town. All the thing we're doing is giving the planning board permission to grant a special use permit and identify where construction areas.
Which are permissible uses in those areas. So anybody that wants to do them in that area is willing.
If they meet all the requirements of the planning board. As far as setbacks, as far as tree cover or fences or anything else.
It's just another way of changing zoning without changing zoning, in my estimation.
I don't understand it, but the planning board's asking for a definition. They have no idea
what
to do with
it. What we're saying? No.
We're giving them a definition. And we're giving them.
And we can give them a definition, but now we're telling them under that definition, it's going to be, it's going here. They got the definition.
This is where you guys put them, yes.
The definition is very clear.
Yes.
And is there anybody that doesn't feel that way? I mean, I think the definition is clear. Now it really depends where do you want that defined activity to go in the town of Casco.
It's a parking lot.
That's the way I see it.
So HR, your HR, is that what
I'm not going to. I'm not in favor of that.
Who's in favor of moderate? No, you want to allow it in moderate.
I think it should be in every zone besides HR and conservation. Because it allows for businesses to come in. And we have them existing. That's the problem. 32A available probably has 4 of them.
Right.
In MR.
I'm a no. Paul?
Man, no.
Patrick?
Going back to what we told those residents last week, right. Kevin weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
I have a hard time doing it now.
So MR
if during a comprehensive review.
I can add RA because that's RA.
Yeah, we said it was
RA is
allowed.
Yeah. RA is allowed.
The planning
Leeds, all of Leeds is MR.
It's not allowed now, though, right? I thought the original proposal was going to be industrial and highway commercial.
Right.
And that's where I think.
highway commercial in the town of Casco available?
Wall of 32. Is there any lot, anything available on 32?
I have to look.
32, that's from 32.
From the, not off the top of my head.
There's nothing on 9W.
Maybe 32 flavors, I think.
There's.
That is, but again, I think that's an issue that would come up in a comprehensive plan. I mean,
we know what, the comprehensive plan is years away.
Not necessarily.
This is a definition the planning board wants now. I don't understand. You have one set of residents that you're making this decision for.
Yeah, because I feel that's
we might want to make a promise.
No, I just said it would be addressed in our comprehensive plan. I didn't say
that's
you're
not. That's
this definition's been on the board for weeks now.
Right, but we had a group of residents. And
so we weren't going to rezone.
Right.
To.
But doing
highway
this,
commercial.
Doing this is kind of going.
It's a backdoor way of doing things.
Not really.
Yes, it's a doorway.
We're not rezoning that section of highway commercial.
Yes, you are.
No, you're not.
Technically, no, we're not.
We're not.
Well, going back to the original question, if you're saying the planning board is looking for a...
So there are surely in that same area that you're concerned with.
Five, that's not true.
Construction lots are ready.
Let's back off.
Five ready.
I want to clear that. I'm not concerned about any five or ten residents. I'm more and most interested in everybody in that.
You brought up the people from Lee six times.
Because they were in our meeting the other night.
What about the people on 32A that live next door? In Pelham? That they're already existing?
To be honest with you, I think those places should be cleaned up. I think there's a certain amount of violations.
So let's just close the town for commercial business.
I think
let's push them all out.
Let's go. I think the place that you're.
What about Hilltop, where it's the storage containers there? For construction.
I think, not to go specific, but if you've got some of them yards that are unsightly, and they are, they should be fenced. We should come in with a fencing type of situation and put up a fence. Which is, I should.
But under these new rules, they're not allowed there anyway. So
we have the junkyard ordinance. I don't know how much we've been enforcing that.
Enforcing that? I mean, these places should have a screen-lined fence up so people at least stand.
You're talking about a place where people park their trucks and take them to work in the morning. They park their trucks and their equipment and take them to work in the morning. They're not working on site. They're not working on site. They're picking up their vehicles and driving to work.
What we already discussed in detail is that the people that are driving it for their own use, meaning the guy that has a zero turn, a guy that has a trailer.
So what's the difference between four dump trucks and he just placed a park?
Can we all agree to that? I mean, the three pieces that somebody has is with their landscaping business and they happen to have it anywhere in Catskill, that's a permissible thing. We're all in agreement with that. I think we're also all in agreement that we have a definition of what a construction yard is. And now I think the only thing that we're really going back and forth on is where?
And my point is, there is no where because of these rules now. All the 9Ws are at, or owned by Peckham or Olson.
Well, I think at some point in time, we should.
At some point in time, I'm talking about opening the door to something now to put money on the tax rolls. The tax base isn't growing.
That should be done through a comprehensive plan. We're going to make that big of a
change. That's whatever you guys decide. I don't care.
That's
this is
I
all
would like
to see for specific residents' purposes.
Everybody's opinion is valuable.
It's just obvious.
But I'll respectfully disagree.
It's completely obvious.
So, I mean, if we were going to do the highway commercial and the industrial, like, until a full-fledged comprehensive plan comes in place, I think that's what we should do.
Sure, why not? Because it doesn't exist.
Was that the recommendations that first came forward, Ted?
From the planning board, yes.
And those are the ones that were asking for a definition, and that's how we got here. So we are...
Well, Michael's next one was just to exclude conservation, and he's the vice president of the planning board.
After much discussion on the town board.
But the planning board just recommended conservation.
Say something about right of way. Which is on your, for those of your digital people, I sent you March 7th at 3:36 p.m. You had a very short email from me about rights of way.
March
saying.
March 7th, 336.
Yes, no shared driveway.
Is that our shared driveway?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Is that our code revisions, shared driveway?
March 7th. Code revisions, yep.
Shared driveway?
Yep, yep. So, and we could spend 2 hours talking about this, because we do with the planning board and there, but just real quick, I'll try to be quick. So we have a question. Basically, the question is that comes in front of us more than we like it to, is are we going to allow a subdivision to have access to the highway by a right-of-way? And right now, there's a loophole, the loophole is that you can use a right-of-way, you can develop, you can have a subdivision, and you can use a right-of-way to get to the public road, as long as you build the right-of-way to private road specs. That's the loophole. Now, the problem with a right-of-way, and there's pros and cons, the problem with having access to a highway by a right-of-way is if I give Paul, you know, Paul is my neighbor, and Paul has, you know, 50 acres behind my house, and he has a right-of-way, recorded right-of-way, over my yard. Now, and if he goes out to the road, or go through my yard on his recorded right-of-way. Now, Paul comes into the planning board, and he's going to subdivide, and he's going to have put 16 houses back there. And now, I gave him a right-of-way, thinking I'm going to let him, and that's it, members of his family use it. Now you've got 16 houses back there.
Yeah, but I thought we did that one with the, you gotta have the maintenance agreement and all that stuff.
Yep. And that's all fine. If you're gonna put 16 houses in, you'll be happy to do all that. So the problem with that is, well, that's the problem. So what we thought we would do is.
Right, because technically any road is really a right of way.
It could be a right of way. If it's what's going to happen now, we have an applicant in front of the board. He's going to be able to use, if he meets all the other requirements, he's going to be able to have access over a right of way. He's going to develop it to private road specs, which is what you have to do.
Right.
The code says any subdivision has to have frontage on either a private road or a public road. So as long as if you have a right-of-way, and I think that probably people didn't think this through when they wrote this language, if you have a right-of-way, as long as you develop the right-of-way to private road specs, you have a private road.
What we recommended to do is access to the public street by right-of-way is not allowed unless the owners of all the lands over which the right-of-way crosses join in the subdivision application. That would protect the people in the front that have frontage on the road, protect them from being, you know, blindsided by some development that happens behind them.
But it also could allow people to be deceptive when they're selling property.
Say that again?
I own 50 acres.
Right.
I keep 10 for myself, and I cut off the other 40 and sell it at a premium to someone.
Right.
Them thinking they have a right. Now, you go before the planning board, haha, I'm not signing off on your subdivision. You bought that 40 acres at a premium, and I don't care.
You have a right-of-way, you have the right-of-way. It doesn't say, did you disclose to the person you got the right-of-way from that you're going to develop that and put 16 building lots back there?
You paid a premium for the property, so.
Now, the flip side of this is, and this is a, I don't, you know, again, I don't mean to spend a lot of a zillion hours on this, but this is your road right here. That's your public road.
Take whatever it takes to get it right, Jack.
You own this is your land that you own there. You divide it like this, and I think this happens a lot, probably. You divide it like this. This is lot number one. This is lot number two. This is lot number three. This guy, lot number one, gives a right-of-way to lot number two, and he gives a right-of-way to lot number three. Sounds good, right?
It happens all the time.
This is not, it happens all the time. This isn't allowed by our code. What we do, which I don't like, and we should really fix it, and we're not going to fix it tonight in 10 minutes, what we do is we make lot number three have a stupid flag lot pole, make them have this little
piece of land,
that goes up to here, and then we make lot number two, they get a little piece of land that goes like that, and right.
So they got all these little roads.
And that's what we make them do, and I don't think that's really...
And it's permissible to have multiple flag lots?
It's
going across a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to have... They're not supposed to be back-to-back. So you could put one that could be
right
over here.
Right, but not right.
But it's a loophole. And
right,
it's,
but before it's subdivided, they should make them...
Do
a right-of-way through the whole...
They do have a right-of-way, but that's not allowed by our code, because you have to have frontage... on a road, and this guy, lot number three, doesn't have frontage. So we make them do this little flag lot pole, and they have a flag, and it's just, and it, you end up with, basically.
So you're saying we should be proposing having a road going through lot one, two, and three.
And that would be okay. I think it would be okay.
Or it's got
to
be some.
But what happens if lot number three in the back is
all
50 acre lot, and now he or she wants to go ahead and make it bigger?
Well,
that's
this language would address that.
Correct.
If you're going to have if you're going to subdivide, you need permission of the people, and I think that's fair. You need permission of the people whose land your right of way goes through.
Right, but if you're in lot number one or lot number two,
you can put a stop to it.
Chances are, you're not going to want five more, because you have no skin in that game already.
Or they buy you out.
If it's a major subdivision, then they got to put their money on it.
Yeah.
Well, we're not asking for the permission, Joel, for them to do this. They have to be on the
application.
On the application, basically stating that they know this project is happening.
What, do they have to get permission, or just that they know?
If they already have permission to use the right of way.
Right. Yeah, but if they're on this,
yeah, that's how we'd be strict.
If they're
on this, I'm saying this.
I know what you're saying, but
I mean, there's a lot of land.
Because
out there
if somebody
has access by the right of way,
they might not like the guy back there. They're not going to let it happen.
Right.
Now, we could table this particular item and think about it and come back in 6 months and try to come up with a solution.
Okay.
Because it's a tough one.
Well, it's got to be when they survey it. They got to survey it different. You know, if you go the lots long ways on the road frontage, right? If you go this way,
right,
then all three lots are...
Right.
Are
but connected. Maybe this guy wants his, maybe it's nice in the back there. I mean, this happens a lot, I think.
It happened to my own property on 5 Mile.
Yeah.
And 25 feet from one side, 25 feet from the other neighbor, and it was 50-foot right-of-way.
Yeah.
And one wasn't filed, the other one was, so I had a 25-foot wide driveway for 50 feet, and then I own the 25 acres behind.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, these subdivisions, they've been there for 50 years, and it's fine. Everything is fine.
If they really need to have permission from the other person, I mean, that's giving them a lot of power.
One person can stop the whole project.
I know.
All right. Well, we'll table it.
Well, one person can stop you from building. You buy this piece of property.
Well, in
back,
the same respect. Well,
building,
how does that fly?
Building a house.
If you don't do it that way, and the guy wants to do it, how would they proceed to put 15 lots as it stands now? Because they can't use that same flag lot, so it would be actually starting.
No, it'd be right. You got a right of way, right? Let's say there's a right of way like this. This guy is going to put 16 houses back there, and they all go over that right of way.
Right now, as it is with no permission.
As it is with no permission.
Right.
Yeah, but the right-of-way is your permission. That's why you're buying a property.
That's right.
That's right. And any upgrades to that right-of-way is on the developer.
Right. It's got to be built to spec, and,
that's an issue that the planning board's coming into. They just want clarity on it. Well, they want different rules, obviously.
Well, it's a problem because we thought, or somebody thought, I guess, along the way that you're really a right of way. You shouldn't be developing a subdivision where the only access is a right of way.
But the right of way should be a private road, right? It should become a private road if you're over so many lots. Maybe it should.
Right.
It shouldn't be a right of way. It should be a private.
So that's what the question with this one is.
Shared driveway.
We talked about a shared.
Well, that's
talking about a shared driveway.
Yeah, we were talking about number two. Number one is just clarity of language. This is actually what it says already. A driveway providing access for up to three lots, providing each lot served by the shared driveway, has 50 feet of frontage on a public or private road. It actually says that now. It just says has, where the red line is, it says has frontage as required by this code. So I just changed that and we put has 50 foot of frontage just so it's more clear. So, okay. So that was my second topic. So we'll table any change to the right-of-way language. All right. The last two topics are townhouses. Are we going to go to three units? Is that we decided to do that? Are we going to go to three units?
I think we should follow the state code.
I think I'd like to go to three units. And again, I think we can address that hopefully in the near future, Ted.
Okay.
About the PU.
Yep, we'll do that before the end of the year. We'll do that. And are we going to, so for right now, we're going to allow three unit townhouses. It's in the code and it's permissible.
Well, we got two in the code.
Right, but now maybe
we're going to three.
Okay, no. All right. Okay.
And then I think I said we should look at, in the end, we'll look at the UDs and where we want to have townhouses at some point. I think that's important.
So that's no. Yes. Okay. Well, the last one is, what do you want to do about 300 feet for public hearing notices, 500 feet, 200 feet, how many
feet? We're at 300 now?
We're at 300.
Okay.
Right.
I'm okay bringing it back.
And then put some wording in there where if it's like a big project and the planning board feels that they should go beyond that 300 feet, that they have the authority to do that.
You define big.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Anything that's, so it might reflect in the seeker. I mean, if it's something that's going to have a big public impact, we want to notify more people than just 300 feet.
Or you can just say, or it could be increased at the discretion of the plan. But I don't like, it's only
at the finding of the seeker.
You put too much power in suburban town.
Exactly.
Like the battery facility absolutely should be something that's more than 300 feet, just because of the nature of that project.
Well, that would be considered industrial. So any industrial.
Industrial?
You know what I mean?
Okay. Industrial use.
Yeah.
Industrial use can only be an industrial zone. So.
Right. Any industrial proposal.
In an industrial zone that you have to go 500 feet.
But that battery isn't going to be an industrial zone.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh, is that industrial?
Yeah, that's industrial.
Major subdivisions?
Yeah, major. Well, major.
What's a major?
A major is five or more.
Right, but a 5 to 10 home on 500 acres, why would you have to know 500 people?
Okay, I'll just try
the
to...
Problem, the difference is...
I think, like Patrick said, if there's a line of seeker where it has significant public impact, it should trigger a larger amount.
Okay.
Industrial project, I think, is probably... I mean, we want that, but there's nothing wrong with letting people, the residents in that area know. I mean, like I said, this could be a major impact.
Seeker, yes.
Cool. That's going to look a lot better.
We'll make it 500 feet.
Okay. I agree.
All right. So that is...
Something's not good.
That's all I have.
Well, I did bring up a question about if we do go to three, changing from two to three.
Yes.
They requested, and I didn't think of this.
Two to three.
Townhouses.
Yeah.
They requested that any applicant currently in front of the planning board not be bound by this new set.
I think that's
and
fair.
I think that's fair.
I would recommend that. That would be if you're...
Because technically they already started a process.
Yeah. Right.
Any applicant that's... Yeah. Application that's already on file.
That's already on file.
That's been...
That might be impacted
by this,
start over again, right?
By these changes, are, can proceed.
Yeah.
So we'll put that as part of the resolution. So, SECR, we gotta do, are you gonna adopt this tonight?
I think we should.
We gotta do SECR.
I mean, we hashed it through pretty good, I think it's, we should.
Alright.
That's it, that's all right. You guys at the back of your storage, everybody's good with the other items that are, that are in there?
Okay, why is the solar still coming up, a question, Ted, on the planning board?
It was a typo, that's, is the only change.
No, the ground, I think there was a resident having an issue with ground and solar.
People wanted screening out, you know, out.
Screening kind of defeats the purpose of a solar panel.
Yes, sir. Depends on where you screen it, right? But I think that that individual is because the lots, which, you're familiar with the project?
Am I forgetting anything?
The solar panels are proposed to go on a lot that had a house. So, you know, that individual looked at it, but she doesn't own it, I get it. And I agree with that. You know, years ago, she looked out her window and see her neighbor. The house is demolished, and now she's going to look at a solar array. But screened, and if it's aesthetically nice and maintained.
Yeah, look like your person.
All right, you ready?
Like that up there?
All answers will be, I will assume, are no unless somebody tells me otherwise. No. Proposed action may involve construction on or physical alteration of the land surface of the proposed site. The proposed action may result in the modification or destruction of or inhibit access to any unique or unusual landforms. Cliffs, dunes, minerals, fossils, caves. The proposed action may affect one or more wetlands or other surface water bodies. The proposed action may result in new or additional use of groundwater, may have the potential to introduce contaminants to groundwater or an aquifer. The proposed action may result in development on land subject to flooding. The proposed action may include an air-regulated emission source, state-regulated air emission source. The proposed action may result in a loss of flora or fauna. The proposed action may impact agricultural resources. The land use of the proposed action are obviously different from or in sharp contrast to current land use patterns between the proposed project and a scenic or aesthetic resource. The proposed action may occur in or adjacent to historical or archaeological resource. The answer to that is yes, because we have sites in Catskill on the National Historic Register. However, the impact would be small. No impact or small impact. The proposed action may result in loss of recreational opportunities or reduction of open space resources as designated in any adopted municipal open space plan. The proposed action may be located within or adjacent to critical environmental area. The proposed action may result in a change into existing transportation systems. The proposed action may cause an increase in the use of any form of energy. The proposed action may result in an increase in noise, odors, or outdoor lighting. The proposed action may have an impact on human health from exposure to new or existing source of contaminants. Proposed action is not consistent with adopted land use plans. The proposed action is inconsistent with the existing community character. If the answer to all of those is no, the chairman can entertain a motion for
negative declaration.
Second by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against? Motion so carried.
If you want to vote to this, adopt the revisions subject to any applications that are in existence before the planning board at this time, to the extent that they may be impacted by the new regulations, they would be exempt from the new regulations.
Okay. Motion.
Motion by Phil. Second. Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those against?
Aye.
Motion so carried. Okay. What else would be not covered? If I get to my sandbox. I don't know what happened prior to that.
The
you got the
contract.
we have that tomorrow sometime?
Yep.
Whatever as you decide.
And the other one that, not that we need a motion, but George has asked about is the clerk here, so I would like to repost the clerk position at the for the ambulance service. And, it's also, not that it has to be, maybe you want it now, but previous applicants will be considered when filling the position, and I feel we should leave the position open or the posting open until the job is filled, because recruitment sometimes has been a little difficult as well. So I don't know if we need a motion for that.
It's on the website. It's always been on the website.
Maybe freshen it up a little bit. Like
it's just not as one of the first three.
Do we want to go on executive session, or is everybody kind of good with what it says? You think we need just to talk it over? And we could do an executive session on that and then come back out and vote on it if you'd like.
I'm good.
It's full of the parameters we discussed, so.
Did you get a chance to look at it?
I glanced at a couple.
And Elaine had a good cover sheet on that?
Right? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Elaine's was very good.
So she kind of hit on all the.
Yeah,
I think we can vote.
And I don't think, to be honest with you, we're back and forth a lot. For a while, I think that's going to be our landing spot. Unless somebody's got some objectives to what they see, it's been pretty solid. So if we don't need to do an executive session, go ahead.
I just have one. The long-term disability.
Okay, the long-term disability piece in there, that's something that's going to be a pass-through for us. It's just that the negotiator is a great guy, Dan Shuddick. He felt that it would be a nice thing to have for his employees. It's a long-term disability policy, and I believe it. They're going to work it through Hartford, and it's going to be through the union. And so really, we're just going to collect the premiums for it, and then we're going to send it to the union. So we're not going to be somebody that's going to be responsible for
But aren't they covered under New York City disability now?
Yeah, but sure, this is long-term. God forbid it.
This is like a paid family medical leave.
It's really, God forbid, you got disabled and you couldn't work. And not just a little history, and Dan wouldn't mind me saying, his wife worked for Knowles Atomic Lab, and she's got some kind of really not-so-good neurological disease, to be honest with you. And I kind of know a little bit about that firsthand. I was in those conversations, as well. So she's permanently disabled, and thank God she made a good a good paycheck, and she has now a long-term disability policy until you're 65 years old. So just a way of, if one of your breadwinners in your family got injured long-term, that you have and that's up to them. And I don't know that
this is. No, I mean, they have the full term themselves. So
yeah, I was just curious about it. That's all.
Yeah. So when I had something similar to that,
it was like that.
Right. And I don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't know the details of
the way
the
employees do that.
If we're collecting it, right, is it considered a
benefit of ours?
No.
No, because like with the state, right, you can only have one disability policy, right, which they have now. Has anybody checked to make sure that we can do this through the.
I think that's
where it's not going to affect their New York State disability?
Yeah, this is like.
I think it's like, yeah.
So we have employees, but
us collecting it, right?
We collect that from
them. Right. And I think a lot of these policies, what happens, you've got to exhaust your other revenues too. Like if you're going to get Social Security disability, that would come off your. If you're going to insure yourself for 60% of your wage, something of that nature, then all these other items that you have cash flow to come off, and then this particular carrier would pay less. But I mean, they wanted it.
I'm good with it. I just want to make sure that.
I think they have it in other locations. He's been Dan's just because it's a personal thing for him, and he's lived it. And so I think he just. I didn't bring that up because I didn't really.
It doesn't cost
us. It's an asset for us. You're right. So, if you did the phone.
Motion
to sign
the union contract?
Would we have a motion on that?
Second.
Second by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Everybody have a broadband topic for the time being?
Yeah. Interesting in doing more research, but the things that come up.
Any more
we should sign it.
Underserved. I agree.
Underserved, yeah. Patrick, you want to discuss it a little bit? Or
well,
okay?
Because this specific, well, maybe not this specific, it would. So right now, Ben Hudson only covers a small part, one provider only covers a small portion of the town. This other provider coming in will encompass the entire town of Casco. For Hamilton, Kiskaton, all the whole county, basically. I know we're only worried about Casco right now. So why won't we give them a letter to try to get more money to serve the rest of the residents in the town of Casco?
Because I think the county's already got it.
For Mid-Hudson.
And Spectrum. Charter.
But Mid-Hudson only covers the village, Jefferson Heights, Leeds. Kiskaton now won't get anything from that. This company will provide.
Yeah, that's not most of it. That's not most of it.
No.
They stopped at storage, so the whole east side of 23, of 32 was covered by Mid-Hudson. Once you go across 23 to Palinville, it's chartered, but then it goes back to Mid-Hudson, towards Carroll.
But they gave. But we're not just talking about New Hudson. The county put out an RFP.
Charter got
right. They're all getting
money.
Green County. All of Green County is going to, when they're done with this in 2025, everybody's going to have coverage. There's going to be no underserved, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking to get money, right?
Yeah.
So they can add their line along with the line that's already there. So why should we pay for it twice?
But we're not paying for it twice.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's our tax money.
Well, I think
you know what I mean. I'm not saying the town.
No,
I'm saying as a taxpayer.
I can see both people's.
I'm paying for it already. The counties are spending $5 million to finish this project, right?
Right.
And so then we're going to give these guys a recommendation to run another line right alongside that line when it's already been done.
If it's served already, or if it's on served and it becomes served, then it would be a duplication, so to speak. But then, I get that because I don't. But again, you know, this thing came out. I think it was from.
So what he said is, they're building over anything. So yeah. I don't understand why they need us to sign on if they're going to build over anything.
Well, all this, what they're asking for on the sign on, and I'm not saying I'm for it or against it right now, but I think it's worthy of a discussion. Is that if we're truly not underserved? And if we truly, at the end of this $2.2 million grant, if we're truly in a situation where everybody is served so we don't have any unserved, then really what happens, we sign on to support their efforts, but there won't be any money there because there's no such category that there's no need. So you're only, by signing, you're saying, if there's a need there, you have an opportunity to gain some money. If there's no need, you're not going to get awarded anything. So it would probably be... something that might not happen.
But he didn't say that letter was for him to take back to his shareholders saying that we have all these people interested in our project.
Well, no, I am interested in that project. I think people in Casco.
Sure.
I think people in Casco want it.
Yeah.
It's funny, but I'm just buying tax dollars on it towards twice. I don't think tax dollars should go towards it twice.
Oh, I know what you're saying. I hear you.
Because somebody, I think what they're saying is somebody's going to get the grant money. When that bead list comes out, that's going to get awarded to somebody. And, you know, again,
there's a reason the county didn't sign it.
I don't know if the county was able
to. Now, if they came here 3 or 4 years prior,
If they came in here 3 months ago before the county did the $2.2 million, I would have signed it.
Absolutely.
Right, I would have been. Well,
as long as what the county is doing is actually going to cover everybody in the county.
It is.
They say everybody in the county. Again,
I haven't seen a map yet.
I haven't. We can talk with Warren on it. I could ask for that map. We can follow up. I mean, we don't have to make the decision tonight, but I think it's a healthy conversation.
No, I don't think we should make a decision.
No, but I mean, let's try to get that map because I know there's well, Warren tonight. There's some mapping on the state site. But again, are they accurate or not? I don't know. I mean, that's been the problem with this.
Warren has actually done an awesome job getting this.
Yeah, he has. So, I mean, I would, you know, take, a good look at what Warren has. I would take Warren's mapping over the state of New York, because we know what's on the ground in Casco, and somebody up in Albany may not. But the survey thing, I sent that out to everybody who has a copy of it, that there's a survey that residents can take.
Yeah,
I think that's important for the people of Casco to know.
It also goes by what the definition of underserved. Because if they're talking speed, then anywhere here in the village is underserved, because we get 100 megabytes. A gigabyte is 1,000 megabytes.
Here's what the topics to be, the topics for public comment included, but are not limited to: locations where broadband services with at least 25 megabytes or megabits per second, and then the downstream is 1 megabyte. Upstream and not available. Locations that are internet download speed is greater than 25 megabytes, but less than 10, or less than 100. Then barriers to access a service such as high cost. Locations where there is only one broadband for internet provider to give service. Reasons why individuals and businesses do not subscribe to broadband internet where it is available. And reasons why some consumers prefer to use cellular service rather than subscribe to a wired or wireless broadband alternatives. So that's, I mean, and those definitions were slightly different than what I seen on the web page. So
we didn't give First Light any resolutions or anything. They're coming into the area.
Yeah.
They've been here.
They've read a lot of their wire from the Hudson too.
All right. Just for, you know, I think we should just make sure we investigate it to the full extent, because again, I don't want redundancy either.
Their hope is to get major population areas so they can make money and then use the grant money to build out to these 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 roads.
Right. Well, the grant
money. You already said if they're not getting money, they're not going to service anybody less than 10.
Correct. And the grant money is on the unserved and the underserved.
So let's see, that
money would have to go to those two specific categories. They're not going to go to somebody that's in the village.
Yeah, the one definition right there was, what was it, one broadband provider?
They're more into businesses. They're not into residential. But on the webpage, when I first was looking at what the definition was on the state as far as underserved and all that, if you had one provider, it was okay as long as the speed was a certain level. And I feel that criteria was met by the
Midwest. It's 300.
But now it's, you know, now this definition is a little different. I don't know if it's a definition, but it's a topic. Okay? Anyway, just wanted to touch base on it. And like I said, we can further that conversation in the future. Okay. What else we got going on here?
I think during this next grant season, we should look at a WQIP grant for some other kind of DEC funding for cement for the sewer plant.
Mm-hmm. I also have
to use that to write the grants one, but yeah.
And the swinging bridge and panel.
There's a lot of.
I didn't get a hold of the insurance company, but Gary Harvey has asked me about that for the Hamlin. But following up on the swinging bridge with everybody here, look at some prices on the insurability and before liability and such. But how do you feel about that project if the Hamlet does not get the DOT site for that? I mean, I think that's instrumental to make this project happen. Right? I mean, instead of going through some private property.
You're going to have to give us an easement.
Well, right. We were talking about making that a nice little pop park up there.
DOT's wanted to give us a chunk of property for a long time. Because they want to
go. Again, we can bring that up at our next meeting as well. But if it was going to go through private property easement and it was going to be, you know, Michael's, you know, because that's a parking lot there, I mean, I don't know if everybody would still feel the same way about it. Maybe we would. I don't know. Just something to think about.
That's a good thought on that.
I would too. Because we're going to propose having a right of way or a walk area that's going through somebody's parking lot.
Well, it's going to have to be marked. It's going to have to be.
And parking's already limited there, so
yeah.
I mean, I think I'm behind the project if we get the DOT property, maybe not as much without that.
We were already okay with it going through another piece of property.
Where? So you're not going to want it? You want it?
We were fine when it was going to go through the Moraro property and through the Sosa.
Was it Moraro's property that we were going to use? He wasn't going to allow.
No, but prior to going to court, the court case was hopefully going to reconnect the bridge where it permanently existed already.
And went through his
property. Which would have been through his property, and we were fine with that.
Right, but now we got a commercial business, right. That's going to have a lot more revenue. activity, meaning a restaurant, bar, or whatever. I don't know what the total plans of that facility looks at, meaning, right, Michael's. And we don't make that decision now, but again, something.
They'd have to lay it all out. So, I mean, you can't make a decision on something that you don't haven't seen or.
Right, exactly. But just,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I'll get some. I'll get a hold of Marshall and Sterling to see what their thoughts on.
I think that the DOT, if you were going to get the DOT, that might take a while. Mm-hmm. Just by what happens with dealing with the state.
It'll be 5 years before that bridge is even done.
Yeah, so you may end up going through Griffins or whatever it's called.
Miles or whatever.
At least initially, and you know, in the hope that you would get the DOT.
Let's put that down for a future one with us under maybe old business, and we'll try to get moving on that a little bit better. Just feels like I'm missing a few things. I can't help it. Anything else up there? We started out that I thought we had very little to do tonight, and then ended up being quite a bit different. All right, with that, we'll just go around if somebody has anything else they want to discuss, or Patrick, or Brianna, Jared. Need a motion to close the meeting.
Motion
to adjourn.